This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Hold only to the winds, belt, even without being said. I don't want to bore you with my troubles.
And welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. The Hall of Famer Rick Hubbell will join us in the next hour, along with Dr. Rick Lehman. We're here till 12 o'clock. Martin will join me at 11. You can watch NHL Network's E.J. Raddick, co-host of NHL Now Weekdays, at 3 o'clock Central Time, plus NHL Tonight will air live before and after every Stanley Cup final game. Joining us now is E.J. Raddick. E.J., good to be with you. How are you, sir?
How you doing, Frank?
Everything is unbelievable here in St. Louis. You just can't imagine the excitement.
I'm sure it is.
Yep.
Can't believe that you were playing another song during that intro. I didn't know there was any other song being played in St. Louis these days.
Excellent point. So we have a couple of teams that didn't just get hot in the postseason. I think since January 1st, only the Lightning have more points than the Blues and Bruins. We are seeing two teams that have been in a groove for a long time.
Yes, and exactly right. Two of the best teams in the league since, the turn of the calendar year. The Bruins have been really pretty good all season long. The St. Louis Blues has been well-documented and struggled out of the gate, made a coaching change, and then the arrival of Jordan Binnington kind of coincided with them taking off and being one of the best teams in the National Hockey League, if not the very best team in the NHL since January 3rd. So these teams have been playing well. They're similar in a lot of areas, and it shapes up as a hell of a series.
And speaking of Binnington, in two of the three series, the Blues have had an edge in goal. I think the Bishop one's probably a toss-up. But how do you analyze the matchup in goal with Rask against Binnington?
Well, I mean, I got to give Tuukka Rask a little bit of an edge just because, first of all, he's been playing out of his mind, and especially in the last couple of rounds. And he has played in the Stanley Cup final before, albeit in a losing effort, a six-game series to the Chicago Blackhawks in 2013. He was part of the Bruins team that went to the final in 2011. Tim Thomas was the goalie there that ended up bringing home the cup for the Boston Bruins. But he's just a little bit more experienced in that moment, but I do think Jordan Binnington will be just fine. He's shown to be just fine in every other circumstance he's been in so far, and the play of goaltenders can change from series to series. So, as I said, I'll give Rask a little bit of the edge just because of the experience level, and he really has been playing some great hockey and goal for the Boston Bruins, but that's not to downgrade anything Binnington has done. He's been spectacular for the Blues.
EJ, which situation would you rather be going in terms of the rest? The Bruins will have 11 days of rest when they drop the puck on Monday night, and the Blues coming off of victory on Tuesday are certainly more playoff or competition ready in a sense.
Yeah, I'd rather be the Blues. I mean, I think they have they might even have one day too many off at this time of year, to be honest. But certainly they don't have the number of days that the Bruins have off. I guess if we get into a long physical series, then I think that at that point, maybe that extra rest will help the Boston Bruins. But I think at the start, for me, I think some of these things work out really good for the Blues. I think they get the start on the road, which gives them an opportunity to go in and get into the series quick, and put the Boston Bruins on the defensive by maybe winning a game in Boston. And the fact that the Bruins haven't played in a good while, I think it's tough to find your game right away. So I think those things could conspire in a positive way for the Blues to get out to a good start in the series, which in a short series, 4-7 game series, I mean, if you can get the jump, gives you a great opportunity to win it.
E.J. Raddick joins us from the NHL Network on the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Give our listening audience a little insight into what makes Brad Marchand tick, and is this a future Hall of Famer if he keeps playing at this level?
Well, I mean, I'm not a psychologist, so I don't know if I can give you all the different things about what breaks Brad Marchand tick. But he is someone that I think he has a pretty good feel for the game on a game-to-game basis. And I think when he gets involved with some of the stuff that's over the edge, it's his way of trying to bring energy to the game and maybe bring his team into the game more. I don't know if he's always accurate in the way that he assesses that, and I don't know. I do know that he doesn't always take the right path, you know, in doing so. But that said, he's a heck of a player. There's no question about that. I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer. You know, that's a pretty high bar to go over. But he's certainly one of the top players right now in this league. And I believe he had 100 points this year. He's on part of the, you know, one of the best, if not the best line in the NHL right now with Patrice Bergeron and David Pastrnak. So he's a handful. He gets under your skin. I think you like it. As an opponent, I think you like it when he's, you know, off the rails a little bit. Because if he's doing that, if he's doing stuff away from the play, then he is not focused on what he needs to be doing, which is generating offense and being a big part of the Boston Bruins attack. I thought in the series against Columbus early on, the Jackets had a 2-1 lead in that second round series, and Brad Marchand was a little bit off the rails, and I think that was to the benefit of the Blue Jackets. I think when Brad Marchand kind of got back on track and just did the things he does, you know, that became more problematic for the Blue Jackets. I talked to Donnie Sweeney, the GM of the Bruins. We had him on our show a couple of weeks ago, and he just said, you know, sometimes Brad tends to drift, and we have to communicate with him and kind of bring him back into the fold, and it'll be interesting to see how he performs in the Stanley Cup Final. It'd be good for the Blues if they can get under his skin a little bit, but he's really good at doing that to his opponents, so we'll certainly a guy we'll be watching in the final.
And do you think if you're Craig Berube, you'd like to put the Selke Award finalist Ryan O'Reilly on the ice when he's out there?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be curious to see what the matchups are going to look like. I mean, the Bruins are pretty familiar with Ryan O'Reilly since he played in Buffalo the last couple of years, so they've, in the same division, seen him a number of times, and they know what he's all about. I think these teams, again, they match up, Frank, really. It's really interesting. I mean, down the middle, I look at so much of teams. I mean, the center and the defense. Your top two centers and your first four defensemen are kind of this, and your goalie are kind of the skeleton of your team. And everything else builds around on the outside of that. And when you look at the centers going all the way through 1-4, I mean, Bergeron, Krejci, Coyle, Ferrale, it's a pretty nice group. But in St. Louis with, you know, O'Reilly and Bozak, and Sundstrom and Shen, I mean, or Sundquist and Shen, you've got four pretty good centers as well. You fill out nice on defense on both sides. So, you know, I'll be curious to see how Craig Berube wants what matchups he's looking for, and also Bruce Cassidy on his side of it. I mean, he's going to be home. He's going to have the last change in the first two games, so he'll have an opportunity to kind of look for the matchups that he wants. But you know, I'll be very curious to see what each guy thinks is the right way to go for his group.
We just got finished seeing a lot of Joe Thornton. Now we're actually going to see a guy who's 3 years older in Zdeno Chara, 42 years old, 6'9", 7 foot on skates. Just some insight on his ability at this stage of his career.
Well, I mean, I think he's a guy that you have to try to you have to try to take advantage of him, quickness. Like, you have to try to get pucks, make him have to go quick from the front of the net to the corner, make him have to be quick. That's the advantage that, you know, when you're having him matching up with Chara, that's where you can take advantage of him. Now, he's got great reach. He's got great experience. He's got a really good stick defensively. He really battles in tight. I mean, he's just a monster. He's an octopus. He's all over you. So if you want to play to his strengths and let him get his paws into you and be stationary in the defense, in the offensive zone, you know, that's gonna help Chara. I think what you want to do is you know, get pucks in the corner, make him have to race for things, make him have to race back to the front of the net, quick puck movement. I mean, those are the ways to take advantage of him. But You know, I really have been impressed with his game in the postseason, penalty killing and important moments in the game. Bruce Cassidy has him out there in the defensive zone, and he's still just kind of a, you know, a freak of nature in terms of hockey players to be that big and to be that good. And, you know, he's a handful still defensively. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how Craig Berube attacks, you know, and how that Blues offensive thrust attacks when Char is on the ice alongside Charlie McAvoy, who's a heck of an offensive threat, great skater, and the guy that will jump in and pop you once in a while physically. But, you know, I think that you can't shy away from trying to take on Char and try to work to the things that he doesn't do well, which, again, is really the quickness at this point of his career. Make him have to be quick.
EJ Raddick joining us, Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 5-9 of the Fan. Excluding Jordan Binnington, I know this is a tough question to answer, but who do you think the most important player or the top two most important players for the Blues in this series could be? What jumps out at you? If these guys play well, yeah, I think there's a really good chance the Blues can win this thing.
Well, I mean, I think Colton Parayko is a guy that comes to mind right away because, you know, he plays in a lot of different situations, long reach, big shot. You know, I think he's going to be an important player. He's probably going to be, you know, out there in against you know, some of the Bruins' best players. And, you know, I think that he's someone that is going to have to play well. Alex Pietrangelo, same thing on his end. You know, amongst the forwards, I just think that they've been rolling those forwards so successfully, and they get contributions from all of them. I'll be curious to see. I don't know if they'll play against one another, but the fourth lines on both teams have been really good. I mean, Sean Corrali, I've really been impressed with him with the Bruins, Miami University kid, played for Team USA in 2013 World Juniors, won a gold medal there. Was as a younger player, you know, was more of an offensive player, but as he, you know, to make it in the NHL, he's kind of morphed his game into, you know, a 200-foot type game, and he's a really hard guy to play against. He's a good skater. He's got he's got a good stick, and he can really, you know, create problems for offensive players going against him. And on the flip side, I mean, that, you know, Ivan Barbashev has just been, he was just terrific in that last series, and Sundqvist and Steen, and give Alex Steen a lot of credit for, going in and taking you know, kind of a different role in this team, and he has been a really big part of it as well. So you know, I think, you know, at the top of the group, I mean, certainly, like I said, Parayko, Pietrangelo's defensemen are going to have to play well, but I'll be curious to watch the fourth lines on both sides, because you know, they have high end forwards. Both teams have really good talented forwards, but those two lines have been energy lines, and in fact, both coaches have opted to start those lines at the beginning of games and periods quite a bit in this last round. So we'll see how that shakes out when we start on Monday.
Finally, give us an idea. I haven't been to a game in Boston in a long time. I'm going to go up there this weekend. An idea of the stars and the legends who could be at this Stanley Cup series watching the Bruins.
Well, I mean, Bobby Orr, first and foremost, you could have Bobby Orr there. He has already been there already this year doing the wave the victory flag or the flag of the Bruins flag before the game. They have a nice little ceremony they do to get the crowd going. Ray Bourque, you know, obviously is another guy. You could have some of the star players from the Patriots, the Tom Brady, or some of the other guys they've got with that group for many years. You could, I think the Red Sox are home that week. I guess in the middle of baseball season, it's tricky. But you never know. Maybe you'll get a big Poppy sighting if he's in town. So hard to say. They've had a lot of success up there in Boston in the last couple of decades with their different sports teams. So I'm sure it'll be a show. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it getting underway on Monday. Because, like I said, I'm really intrigued by this matchup. It's a story of you know, a St. Louis team that has played so well since January 1st with the arrival of Binnington, as I said earlier. And sure, and the other kind of flip side is here's Binnington, who last year played in the Bruins organization. He wasn't even a member of the Bruins. He was on loan from the Blues because he wouldn't accept a demotion to the ECHL, and he ended up being loaned to the Providence Bruins and having a really good season and then kind of a number two role there. And he knows a lot of those younger players on the Bruins. Heck, he was teammates with a bunch of them. So, you know, that's another interesting subplot to this whole story.
And if you had to lay a milkshake bet on this series, which way would you go?
Well, I think if I had to right now at the start of things, I'd probably take the Bruins just because I just see little advantages, but they're so small, Frank. And you know, I think the St. Louis Blues are in a great position to go into Boston and win one of those first two games. And if they can do that, then they put themselves in a really good spot. They've been good on the road all playoffs long. And, you know, I think it could go either way. But if you force me at the outset here, just because, you know, again, Rask has been more experienced and playing well. And, you know, they've just got, you know, just little small edges in some areas. The power play has been really good there. Their penalty killing is always good. So little small areas, I give them the advantage. But, you know, it's a real close series, and I think it could go either way. And I really do think the Blues are in a great spot to go and win one of those first two games and really put the Bruins on their heels.
EJ, we'll be watching you on the NHL Network. We appreciate your time. Thank you, sir.
All right, you got it, Frank.
All right, EJ Raddick joining us. By the way, Chara won the hardest shot competition at the NHL All-Star Game in 2007, 2008, 2009, 2011, 2012. And in 2012, he set a record at 108.8 miles per hour.
Wow.
All right. Before we go to break, quick word about the Gatesworth, finest in senior living. If you're looking for a place for mom or dad, aunt or uncle, grandma or grandpa, look no further than the Gatesworth. The answer is always yes when you call down to the front desk. The food, the activities, outstanding. We'll be right back.